This morning I would like to speak to you on the subject of faithfulness. Now, of course, we know and we have sung about the faithfulness of God. Again and again we read of the fact of His faithfulness to us. God is faithful because it's through Him and by our Lord Jesus Christ that we have been called into the fellowship of His Son. God is faithful to stick to a trial. He will not bring greater trials than we are able to bear, and He will always make a way of escape for us. God is faithful in respect to the fact that we are willing and ready to confess our sins, because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read too of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says that the Lord is faithful to establish us and to keep us from evil. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 17 of the fact that He is a merciful and faithful high priest. Revelation 3:14 speaks of the Lord as a faithful and true witness. Then, of course, we read of the faithfulness of Moses. Paul is spoken of as being a man who had been counted faithful. God had put him into the ministry. And Paul himself refers to various colleagues who had been faithful ministers or servants of the Lord. He speaks of Timothy and of others in this connection. But in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, Paul says, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful," so that in stewardship there has to be the evidence of faithfulness. In 2 Timothy 2:2, when the apostle was giving to his son in the faith the assignment in respect to the continuance of the ministry, he said, "The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. The word faithfulness in itself refers to trust, which results in trustworthiness. So when we think of faithfulness, we think first of all of the basic quality of faith. Faithfulness is a conviction to be exercised. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It is a confidence to be experienced. Titus 2 verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. And then it is a conduct to be expressed. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." When Paul summarized the Christian's conduct, he related it to the ordinary activities of life. 1 Corinthians 10:31 we read, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now in the New Testament, we have a very important word in relation to our continuing to be faithful. The word in itself basically means that it is possible for us to lose heart or to become discouraged. And so in order to present the positive case, Paul uses various words of exhortation, and we have illustrations to show that we should, as followers of Jesus Christ, as servants of God, be faithful in all things. Now there are four areas that we're going to consider in respect to our faithfulness. We're going to read, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Please note these words, we faint not. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. We continue to be faithful. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look down, if you will, at verse 15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause, notice again the words, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us turn now to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And finally, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. Reading at verse 1. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word. We're going to think, first of all, this morning, of faithfulness in our problems. The reading from 2 Corinthians 4:16 was, "For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 13, uses a similar statement when he says, "Faint not at my trials, which," he says, "is your glory." Now, in this section of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, Paul presents three contrasts in respect to our problems. First of all, a contrast in time. For a moment, contrasted with eternal. Then a contrast in magnitude. Light contrasted with weight. Then in character. Affliction contrasted with glory. Paul speaks of our light affliction, which is but for a moment. In life's experiences, there are many problems that have to be faced, and praise God, they can be solved. And sometimes when we're passing through days of difficulty, it would seem that that period will never end. But we have to think of the contrast between what is temporary, what is really fleeting, and what is permanent and forever. That which is for a moment contrasted with that which is eternal. And as we think in terms of eternity, then what we are suffering for the sake of the Lord now is something that we can accept as from Him, knowing that there is a purpose in every situation and condition in life. I was talking to two of our dear friends this morning concerning Romans 8:28. I mentioned that the last message brought by Dr. William Culbertson, president of Moody Bible Institute, was on that verse. Dr. Culbertson was suffering great pain. He knew that he was nearing the shores of eternity. He knew he was soon going to be in the presence of the Lord. And right from his heart, he gave this message. His voice was failing. His breathing was difficult. But on that recording to which I listened, he said that we know that all things work together for good. And he pointed out that we do not understand these circumstances. But we know that God is always planning for our ultimate good. And so what seems to be so hard and so difficult now is something that will pass away, and then we shall enter into the fullness of eternal blessing. I take great comfort from a short statement in the Word of God that we read frequently. And it came to pass. Aren't you glad that it comes to pass? That we have this experience and then it is over. Paul is speaking here of the afflictions that we may have in this world, which are comparatively short as we think in terms of the eternity into which we are going to enter. Then in magnitude, our light affliction, sometimes we do not consider it particularly light. We may think that our burden is heavy, that there has been much put upon us that we find difficult to bear or to bear up to. But then there is that weight of glory which lies ahead. The story is told about a man many years ago in Great Britain who was falsely accused and wrongly condemned. He was put in prison. He was bound with heavy chains. Then sometime later it was discovered that this man was innocent of the crime for which he had been sentenced and imprisoned. And so when his case was reheard, the judge decided and determined that the chains that had bound him would be weighed and that he would be given an equivalent weight of gold to compensate for his wrongful imprisonment. Now, if that man had come from Scotland, and I'm not sure about that, I guess he would have wished that his chains had been a lot heavier. But you know, dear friends, it's just a picture of the glory that's going to be revealed in a coming day. What has seemed so trying here will result in a real triumph there. Our light affliction contrasted with the eternal weight of glory. Then, of course, in character, affliction now, but glory then. No cross, no crown, no gain without pain. It was the way the master went. Should not his servant tread it still? Again and again, Christians are puzzled and perplexed because of sickness or affliction. Why is healing not granted? Let me say, dear friends, that I believe the purpose of the Lord is just as well fulfilled by withholding healing than by granting it. You remember the case of the Apostle Paul himself. He had that thorn in the flesh, an affliction that he prayed three times over he might be delivered from. But the Lord revealed to him that it was his will that this affliction should be allowed, that God had a purpose in permitting him to suffer as he did. And Paul accepted it most gladly because he knew that the grace of God would always be sufficient in every circumstance in life. My dear friends, if you have been passing through times of pain, affliction, suffering and trial, as we look ahead, we can see the glory dawning. One glimpse of the Savior will fully recompense all that we have had to suffer here. Paul speaks so feelingly and so wonderfully of the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ.
So, although it may be affliction now, it will be glory then. Faithfulness in our problems. But then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are exhorted to faithfulness in our presentation of the message. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not." Now this verse is associated with what has gone before in chapter 3. Reading this in context, the Apostle Paul speaks in chapter 3, verse 10, of this ministry as it relates to revelation, the ministry of revelation. Because in verse 10 he speaks of the glory that excelleth. And you will note again and again in that chapter how often he speaks of that which is glorious. And then of course when we come into chapter 4 and verse 4, he speaks of the gospel of the glory, or the glorious gospel. So, it is the ministry of revelation. God revealing himself to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so as we present the message, we do as John Wesley exhorted his students, that is, present Christ to the people. And in John Wesley's diary, again and again, he writes of his visits to various places, and he says, "I offered Christ to the people." Now in our presentation of the message of the gospel, we are not just only presenting a form of belief. We are not presenting a philosophy. We are not presenting a way of life necessarily. But we are presenting a person. For John 1 verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." It is the ministry of revelation concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let us present Christ to others. Then it is the ministry of transformation, as we see in the last verse of chapter 3. This is the word for transfigured, just used three times in the New Testament, once in relation to the events on the Mount of Transfiguration, as given in Matthew 17. Again in Romans chapter 12, where we read of being transformed or transfigured by the renewing of our minds as we present our bodies to the Lord. And then here, the transformation that results through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Word of God. And praise God that the gospel changes or transforms human life. How we thank God for testimonies which we have read. That book by Charles Colson, Born Again, is one of the most thrilling accounts I've ever read of a transformed life. I heartily commend that book to you. Once you pick it up, I can guarantee you won't be able to lay it down again. It's a tremendous account of the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, proving that Romans 1:16 is still true today, when Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I knew of a man in the city of Glasgow, Scotland, who had lived a very godless life. He was giving his testimony one night. And he said, "Friends, I want to tell you of the great change that has taken place in my life." He said, "Before I was converted, I used to beat my wife. But," he says, "now it's the opposite." So you can take out of that what you will. But he had changed and he wanted to testify to the fact. And in my evangelistic ministry, I have seen so many miracles of divine grace. Oh, how the gospel changes human lives and transforms homes as well. The ministry of transformation. But then you will note in verse 3 of chapter 4 that it has to be the ministry of communication. We have to be faithful in transmitting the truth. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Sometimes tell the students at the Washington Bible College that some Christians remind me of the rivers of Alaska in the wintertime. They're frozen at the mouth. They don't speak up for Jesus Christ. Now, one of our great emphases at the Washington Bible College is to teach and train our young people to share their faith. In the very first semester that we have students in our college, we make sure that they know exactly how to communicate this ministry to others. And I'm really delighted to see how involved our students are in so many different avenues of Christian service in seeking to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go any day to our airport in the Washington area and you'll find our students witnessing at the airport. We have students at many different hospitals and nursing homes. We have students in jail, students working in rescue missions, students on the university campuses every day, students witnessing down at Washington Monument, outside the White House, down by the Smithsonian Institution. All kinds of places, they're witnessing for Jesus Christ and rejoicing in the opportunities of speaking to others of our wonderful Savior. At this present time, we have 16 of our students in Mexico, working with Operation Mobilization in a ministry to reach the people in that country with the gospel of Christ. We are forming a large team to go to Italy this summer. We'll have anything up to 20 students who'll be going to Italy with the gospel. Some of you may know Dr. Jack Murray has been associated with the Word of Life Fellowship. His son, George Murray, is serving the Lord in Italy, and he has asked for a team from our college. And already I've got about 14 or 15 names of those who have volunteered for this summer ministry, beginning at the end of May and running right through to the middle of August. And there are a number of other students who are interested in becoming involved in this work. Then we have also students going to Nigeria this summer in the will of God. Several of our students have volunteered for work there and other parts of the world. Each summer, we have students serving in several foreign countries. And much of the expense of these trips is met by the students themselves. We have a Students' Missions Fellowship. The goal this year is to raise $10,000 amongst the students in order to send out these different summer missionaries with the gospel to other countries. And so as you think of us, I trust you'll remember our witness for the Lord in the nation's capital, We are printing at the present time 200,000 copies of a tract that will be used in inauguration. It's a very well set up type of booklet. We're going to have a picture of the Capitol on the front in color. Then we're going to have a picture of the President-elect and the Vice-President-elect. Then we're going to have a map of the parade so that it will be a guide to the various events taking place in Washington. And then inside that folder, there will be a clear and explicit message concerning how a person can know Jesus Christ in a personal way. We are printing 200,000 copies of this, and our students will be involved in the distribution of this all day on Inauguration Day and even before that event takes place. No classes that day, and so our students are out distributing this literature in the nation's capital. Faithfulness in our presentation of the message. Try to win another soul for Jesus. For somebody once helped you. When you were far away, how they used to plead and pray. Until at last the Lord saved you. Try to win another soul for Jesus. For that's what every Christian ought to do. Every day and every hour, by the Holy Spirit's power, try to win another sinner to the Lord. Then thirdly, faithfulness in our prayers. Now we read in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And I think we have three lessons in these verses. First of all, a lesson in dependence. Then a lesson in persistence. And then thirdly, a lesson in confidence. A lesson in dependence. Here was a widow who was weak and needed help. She went to the judge for his assistance. And so first of all, we have a lesson in dependence. My dear friends, if God is going to bless our lives and use our witness, then our dependence must always be in the Lord. We trust in Him. Many years ago in Scotland, there lived a dear lady who was getting a little bit up in years. She was getting older, as we would say. Not old. I think I told you about a dear brother we had in one of our assemblies in New Zealand who used to almost every prayer meeting pray for those who had old age and other things creeping over them. We always wondered what the other things were. But this lady was getting older, and it was in the days before there was any kind of social security or any pension of any kind, and she was very poor, but she loved the Lord. And she was a great woman of prayer. In fact, she was known in that neighborhood as being a real woman of God. She lived in a cottage, and in that cottage, there was a very big chimney and a big open fireplace, big enough to allow Santa Claus to descend. If you still believe in Santa Claus, I'll never forget one time I was having meetings in the northern part of New Zealand, and I had been counseling with several people, and there were two little girls that I had to get to, and I was trying to get to them as quickly as possible, and when I finally reached them, one girl said to me, oh, she said, my friend here wanted to ask you about the devil. But she said, I've answered her question. I told her, the devil is just like Santa Claus, it's your own father. So I had to set that one straight. Well, this dear lady in Scotland had nothing in the cupboard. Like old Mother Hubbard,
The cupboard was bare.
And so she was praying to the Lord for a loaf of bread. There was no fire in the grate. There were some boys who were rather mischievous. They all called her Granny. And they'd heard that she was praying for a loaf of bread. So they thought, tell you what we'll do. We'll go and buy a loaf. And then we'll lower it down through the chimney and see what happens. So they went into the village and they bought a loaf of bread and they wrapped it up in some paper and tied a piece of string to it, climbed up onto the roof and then lowered it down through that wide chimney. Granny, as they called her, was down on her knees praying to the Lord. And she thought she heard a kind of rumbling sound in the chimney. I don't think it was Christmas time either. So she turned around and there is a package. So of course the boys are eager to know what's going to happen. They're peering in through the window. She undid the package and to her great joy, a loaf of bread inside. So immediately she got down on her knees to thank the Lord for his wonderful provision. This was too much for the boys, so they burst in. They said, Granny, it wasn't the Lord that sent you that loaf. We went into the store and bought it. We're the ones that lowered it down through the chimney. She said, well, maybe it was the devil that brought it, but it was the Lord that sent it. A lesson in dependence upon the Lord. Mr. Mrs. Willie will remember the late John McAlpine. His son, who is also in the work, told of an experience which he had in Paris. He was staying at the Bible school operated by Greater Europe Mission in the Paris area. There was a young man who was greatly concerned because he had no funds at all. And he was praying to the Lord for money that he badly needed. Campbell McAlpine had just received some money from Denmark and he decided to share some of this with this young student. So he went up to the student's room and found him down on his knees praying that the Lord would send the money that was so greatly needed. Campbell just tiptoed into the room and laid down the money in the bed in front of where the student was praying, and then slipped out quietly of the room. A few minutes afterwards, the student came rushing downstairs and right up to Mr. McAlpine, and he said, a most wonderful thing has happened. He said, I'm down on my knees praying. I'm asking the Lord, oh Lord, please send that money that I need so much. I open my eyes, and there right in front of me on the bed is the money. I look up, and there's no hole in the ceiling. But God must have sent it. His dependence was in the Lord. They who trust him wholly, find him wholly true. God will never fail those who trust in him. Then a lesson in persistence. Notice she kept coming back. She went, and of course, there's a contrast here between the Lord and the unjust judge. But she kept on coming back, revisiting him. And this would be a lesson in our continuing in prayer. Don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. I was conducting evangelistic services in New Zealand some years ago. And I remember a man who had lived such a godless life was gloriously saved. His wife, who had been a Christian for a number of years, greeted him when we went from the inquiry room into the main auditorium. As she flung her arms round his neck, she said, oh Lord, thank you so much. You know, I've prayed for him for 22 years, and now you've answered my prayer. She hadn't stopped praying. The Lord had answered in his own good time and way. And when it says that the Lord will avenge speedily, this does not imply that the Lord will necessarily answer immediately we ask. But it means that when God is going to act, He acts quickly. When God is going to give that answer in His own time and way, then He will move very rapidly. A lesson in persistence and a lesson in confidence. She believed her cause was just. She had confidence in what she was asking. And we should ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because in our prayer life, there should be dependence upon the Lord. There should be persistence as we bring our requests before Him. And there should also be confidence in that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Faithfulness in our prayers. And then finally, faithfulness in our performance. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now the principle here in Galatians 6:7 is, we reap what we sow. Think not the thistle seed to sow, and reap the rose full blown. For man must gather first and last the harvest he has sown. We reap whatsoever we sow. This is true, as we noted in an earlier meeting, in relation to our spirituality. We have it right here in Galatians 6. It refers to our stewardship, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It relates to our service for the Lord. The principle is always the same. We reap what we sow. And this is true of our performance of what we do for the Lord. Let us not be weary in doing good. The practice, do not give up in doing those things that are helpful to others. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it is said He went about continually doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And the testimony of men concerning the Savior was, He hath done all things well. Practical Christianity commends the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the promise. We shall reap if we don't give up. The time will come when the results of our efforts will be seen, and when we will be able to glorify the Lord for what He has been pleased to do through these lives of ours. He has sent us into a world of spiritual darkness to be light in the world. He has sent us into a world of spiritual death to bring the message of life to those who are dead in trespasses and sin. He has sent us into a world that's characterized by sin and selfishness to give sacrificial service and to do good to those with whom we come into contact. May the Lord enable us not only to be faithful in our problems, in our presentation of the message, in our prayers, but also in our performance of these good things that will adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts for His name's sake.